Hello, Supercoach community.
Oh, I'm in a good mood tonight. I'm coming off good week. Very, very happy with how I've gone, Todd. 2,445. How'd you go, mate?
Oh, well, I know at one stage I was tracking to get one up on you this week, but unfortunately the team just didn't perform on that Sunday, and just a dismal 2,331 for myself. Puts me up 8K spots to 27,000 overall. I'd like to be a little bit higher, but it's not the worst position to be starting after round two.
That's not too bad. Plenty of room to climb up the leaderboard there. I had just had no one stink it up for me really this week. I was very happy. Had a few blokes go absolutely massive. Will Brody pulled out a ton off 60% game time. It was all good for me this week.
Yeah, also had Will Brody. He was very pleasing. Hopefully if he pushes that game, don't know if he has the fitness for it, but we'll hopefully he can go a bit better in the following weeks. For me personally, Dugowie and Dawson are playing the same game. Checked the quarter time scores. Dawson on 0.
Oh.
Dugowie was on about 8.
I had the same thing
with Dawson. Yeah, massive demons, but then both of them got going and Dawson ended up getting a 99, which I was pretty proud of, and Dugowie hit that 95 range, which isn't too bad. Another mention, Ridley bounced back from last week, 102, and then this Leeser, can you hear that? I think it's a...
Is it?
I don't know.
Rocket?
I thought it sounded a bit more like a squeal, but...
Oh, squeal.
Oh, yeah, it's a squeal. Oh,
a pig.
Is it a pig?
Oh, there's a pig on the ground. There's a pig at full forward.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pig, and it's here in a big way. Lockie Neal,
he's
just entered the room, and he's looking nice and juicy after 198.
Yeah, that's pig of the week. I was watching that game. Oh, he did crack the 200 at one stage, and I think he was scaled down, but majestic performance, 40 disposals. Oh, he looked sensational.
Probably had the VC on.
Had the VC on him, so that really elevated me up this week.
Tell you what, his shoulders are a bit sore after carrying my team for the round. Another outstanding performance. I did tell you, community, I did warn you every single episode at the start. Took update. We're just about
where's
to
the train gone? Yeah, where is the train at the moment?
It's left the tracks. It's got a jet engine underneath it. It's just about to break through the stratosphere. So if you missed out, I have no sympathy. I told you to get on. The tickets are sold out. Good luck getting him now. He's going to 750K.
This is the last week to get on, isn't it, really? The train.
Yeah, this is the lowest price he'll be all season, 677K. So, yeah. But anyway, I think we move on from there.
Oh, I think you might have missed someone, actually. You wanted to express a few frustrations.
Missed someone? Oh, wait. Hang on.
I think Rocket was here before. I think I can hear him now. Rocket,
we can't hear. We can't fucking hear.
Yeah, thanks. Just be quiet there, Rocket. Oh, shithead. Rocket. Okay. You can have a go at this one. Yeah. All right. Sorry, community. Rocket's a little bit upset last week. I didn't let him have his spray, but he's back. And oh my God, this bloke, Al Shitfield. If my Sunday didn't get any worse,
oh no!
After a big Saturday, it just did. When I went to this game, Whitfield, watched him with a close eye. He was playing a bit too high up the ground. Didn't get going. Doesn't look like he's moving as freely. Yeah, his role has definitely changed. It doesn't help that Cumming is down back and just
takes
has
that kickouts. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I reckon he's injured. He's just not moving well at all.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what. There's going to be no shield this week. Rocket can go absolutely berserk, that's for sure. And Whitfield, he's just gone. You've heard it first, gone. We did put a poll up. The community was a little bit torn. We got a lot of attraction, 577 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the end result was 57% want him out. I'm not sure what the other 43% are doing, but you can't keep this spud in your team, that's for sure.
You've handballed him off to Rocket to just go absolutely bananas on him.
Yeah, I fed him to the Wolves.
Yeah,
all right. And, that's the end of Whitfield. I don't think I'll be seeing him for the rest of the season. Wait. Sorry, community. I've just, I don't know why, but the neighbour's just popped his head through the window. he's got something to say for Whitfield. And, we'll just give him his platform for a few seconds.
Each week I put in... Until there's no more to put. I put in and I'm sick of it. Ben Kilday, you've had 55 touches. Where the
Oh, thanks for that, Douglas. Back to mowing the lawns for you. But yeah, we'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll look, what we're going to do, we're going to try and do this super efficiently and whip through each line. We're going to go through the rookies that you need to have, who you might be thinking about trading out and also trading in. So we're going to start in defense.
Oh, so we already know who's going. We're not one for trading premiums, not especially usually after round two, but there does come...
there are exemptions.
Yeah, exemptions and yeah.
So rookies need to have McCartan, intercept game, had 40 points just about by quarter time. I think he took 5 or 6 intercept marks in that first quarter. Get him in. Hinge, you don't have Hinge.
I don't have Hinge at the moment. I'm working on trying to get him in. He might not be able to get him, but yeah, Hinge is definitely on the watch as well. If you don't have him, try and get him into your side.
You've got Gibkiss. I don't have Gibkiss. He's stunk it up for you.
Yeah, just hold him if you got him at the moment. Nothing much happening there. Just he'll keep scoring those 50s in his role, but he will hold his position. He was good on the weekend, just not a friendly super coach role.
Hopefully SDK back this week. Scotty does hate youth, so that's a bit of a watch. But they're probably the main ones in defense. We're going to shift on to, we've already talked about trade outs with your man Whitfield. Probably the other person that people are keen to boot out of their team is Heath Chapman. I did say preseason, don't pick this bloke. He got about a bazillion points for a spoil last week, which inflated his score. Was putrid again this week. Get him out of your team. But yeah, they're probably the main two. Trading ins.
A lot of the community are going for Hewitt. He's one to watch. He did back up his nice 130-odd point score in round one with, I think, 114 he scored around about. Yeah.
Jake Bowie is the other one. Now, I know that a lot of people are looking to get him in to free up some cash. We'll probably talk a little bit more about trade strategy and the ways that we can, I guess, navigate who to bring in and who to flick later on with our special guest, Todd.
Yeah, and we'll discuss these plays in a bit more detail.
Supercoach Mama.
Supercoach Mama.
Yep, she'll be talking with us. She can guide us through trade strategy
on,
for
is
this
that
week.
The mama of all mamas.
Yep, the mama, the queen of Supercoach. The winner last year.
Jeez.
A massive... massive coup for the percenters. We're very excited to have her
I don't know about you, community, but if you weren't already excited.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
Strap yourself in.
I'm a bit nervous.
I'm shaking.
I need a bit of deodorant because I'm a bit sweaty.
Probably shouldn't be saying this, community, but before we started filming, Will did suggest he might shat himself. He didn't know if it was a fart.
That's personal information, Tom.
Or a follow through. Oh, yeah. So I might give an update later if it starts to smell a little bit.
Yeah, look, she's an intimidating presence, Supercoach Mama. She's won last year. I'm a little bit nervous, but hopefully I haven't followed through. Anyway, that's got me a little bit distracted. George Hewitt is, we might talk to her about George Hewitt. I think that she was thinking about bringing him in. Jaden Short is someone that might be, look, you probably...
You started well, but you sort of missed the boat there.
You might have missed the boat. If you've got someone that's injured, I don't know, you could maybe bring him in. Yeah. Aaron Hall, the walking hamstring, he's started well. It really annoys me, but he's someone to watch as well.
The Rucks?
Yeah, Rucks. Let's whip through these. Oh, gone. Big Gorny. No good.
There's going to be a lot to talk about with Gorn.
Fortune teller. Jinxed Gorn. Yeah.
Oh, was it Gorn? I think it was Grundy, the fortune teller, touched on.
Okay, yeah, it might have been.
Still, he didn't start Gorn.
No,
the fortune teller. Yeah. So, yeah, he's playing a lot more forward. Jackson is using up those midfield minutes. He's just missing out on those intercept marks, which are a super coach goldmine.
And I guess last week he gave away about 6 free kicks against Tim English, which was a bit of an aberration.
This week he went at about 40%. And he did still,
didn't look great. Bit of a... stat from Dan Batten here, has only averaged 110 per game since the bye last year. Gone 110 plus only 4 times in 14 matches, and that does include finals, with 2 of them being 159 against Geelong. So I think there are genuine concerns about Gorn, but we might just leave that discussion for a little bit later.
Another one to trade out, we have Warnchy community, but this bloke, he did right stay on the couch. I think it was on Sunday night they did that. So he's staying with maths, and he's at the moment he's putting his football career on hold to pursue his love life. So I'm not sure what's happening, but he's sticking with the dugout sister. We know what that means. He's not really available for to be that super coach beast which we want him to be.
Yeah, we did say that preseason he'd do an ankle and go off the ground. Called it, happened the first time he was back. Yeah, it was almost laughable. I hope that he gets his body right, big Hodor. But
he's just too big.
Too big. too injury prone. Rowan Marshall looks a bit grim at the moment. Paddy Ryder's not back. I feel like Jack Hayes is affecting his centre bounces. That's a bit of a watch there. But we'll move past our rucks. Although, I mean, I don't know. Do you want to touch on Luke Jackson? I think a lot of people are trading him in.
He's looking good. I'm just a little bit concerned. He is a gun, but I just don't know if he can keep it up. He's played two really good games. Even last year, he had patches where he dominated games, scored those 130s, and then he pulled out a 40 next week. But he has matured a little bit. He's looking even bigger and better. He has kicked a few goals in the opening two rounds, which has boosted his score up. But,
I won't be bringing him in this week.
Yeah, I won't be targeting him either. It's just a little bit too risky for me, even though he is an absolute star. It's just a little bit too early for me in his career.
Forwards or mids?
We'll go into the forward line first.
All right. Rookies, pretty easy here. Nick Martin's only played the one game, so you don't have to go early on him if you don't want this week, given that he's not on the bubble, but he looks like an absolute lock. Hayes, need to get him in your side if you don't have him in. And then Michelli.
You've got to get him into your side as well.
Had a bit of a flutter week this past week gone, but we'll be playing every game and has good scoring potential, as we saw in round one. So bring him in as well. People that you might be considering bringing in if you don't have them and you've copped an injury, Butters has started really well.
Yeah, super Butters, elite.
Yeah, dominated.
Taking his game to the next level, for sure.
Heaney, shattered. I didn't have him in the start. Still considering trying to bring him in. Papley coming back in the next 2 to 3 weeks would only benefit his scoring as well. So he's sort of someone that you might want to get on early, because I feel like he's just going to keep escalating in price. Had the 16 centre bounces round one, only 6 last week in round two, but kicked 5 goals. So
he looks so dangerous up forward. Yeah. Just whenever ball goes down there, it's just he's there.
He just scores bulk points. To go with your man, also a good selection. So they're people to watch. Trade outs. I feel like the big one that's been traded out of a lot of teams, I don't know if you've got the stat, is brackets. Mitch McGovern.
Yeah. I don't have him, so I haven't been paying much attention.
I don't have him. I didn't start him. I was nervous, as I said last week, when he looked dominant in the first half of round one, but pulled out a 40 last week. He was named in the best in, I think, a few media outlets in The Age, even. Still had the intercept marks, but yeah, I didn't watch the game too closely. He's probably someone that you might be able to swap with Jerry if you can, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that is another one if you want to target. Did you mention Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah, so he's going to be
like a very good option.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about him a bit later, but he looks like an excellent option. He's got more ruck time than Goldie. He's pushed the old fella out of the centre. He looks like almost a must trade in this week, so we'll talk about him later.
So, shifting our focus into the midfield, some must-have rookies. Jason Bourne Francis, get him in. He looks even better.
Yeah.
My man, Tyron, he's out for a few weeks. That only helps Jason.
Yeah.
Dacos is looking good. Just wasn't really efficient on the weekend, but he'll be serviceable throughout the coming weeks. Stevens.
Wing roll. Looks really good on the wing.
So he's one I'm really keen on. He's not currently in my team, but I'm looking to get him in this week. He has that friendly role on the wing, and he just, 95 on the weekend. He's looking like a must-have.
I don't have him either, but I think I'll probably potentially have to get him in this week. McDonald?
Yeah, he's looking all right. Another 58.
Yeah, had 18 disposals and a goal on the weekend. I think he had 55 Supercoach points. Job security looks strong. They had a great win. He's at that lower base price of 123, I think. So he's a good option.
Another popular rookie, Ward.
Yeah, Ward. Now, I think there are a lot of people that are trading him out, and I can understand, given his elevated price, that he might be someone taking from to go to Cripps or someone else.
He's the third most traded out midfielder this week.
I think that I'd probably urge caution there. He did have 21 disposals and a goal on the weekend. Now, normally you're not going to be pulling out an average score off 21 and a goal. He just went at 40% efficiency and had 6 turnovers. So all he has to do is tidy up his disposal. We've seen in the preseason when he had 29, and I think he went above 80% and tunned up. He's got that in him. Just needs to tidy up his efficiency. If you need to flick someone, you have to go, fine, but I wouldn't be too concerned about him at the moment.
Just moving on to a few players who have been traded out this week. Number one would be Berry. His role doesn't look ideal anymore. Fagan has said he's used him to tag, and he will have no hesitation using him to tag and saying it's been effective, and he'll keep doing it throughout the season. So,
yeah, in my side, look, I get that. Still managed to score 76 and attended 21 centre bounces, which is massive on the weekend. Had 5 tackles. Only had the 14 disposals. I don't know. I understand. I still might trade him this week to get in Jerry, but I don't think that it's as sort of poor and as bad as what people think. But yeah, definitely this, watch with the shoulder as well. The shoulder is a bit of a concern.
This next one bewilds me. I'd never realized.
I don't think that's a word, but that's okay. We'll keep going.
Yeah, we'll keep going. I'm just really confused, community. But this next one, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure there's been.
Do you know how to say his name now?
No, I do, but I've been told by someone that we've got 5,000 monkeys have infiltrated Supercoach.
Where is this going? I don't even know this gag's going, to be honest.
They've infiltrated the system. They're playing Supercoach. They've started with Jakey Steele.
His name's Jack.
Jack Steele. And they've traded him out. He's the second most traded out midfielder in Supercoach. Jake Steele, the bloke who's
Jack Steele. Yeah, look, I don't understand.
Sorry,
I don't know why you're paying premium for him. He is a gun. He'll bounce back.
He's had 111. He's a top four. You don't get rid of a top four.
Yeah, he's had 13 tackles and had an
he'll
off
be a
game.
Top four midfielder by the end of the season.
And
most
still,
likely,
still scored 111 or something. Just don't be
a spy. Don't be a monkey and trade out Jake Steele.
Jack Steele. Yep.
Jack Steele.
Other people that might be popular trade ins. I'm not sure what stats you've got. Clearly, Patrick Cripps is probably number one this week. Oh, really giving me migraines. Beaten two good sides, the Blues, which is promising. He's hitting the scoreboard. He's moving so much better.
Yeah.
Chera's back, so it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that'll affect him, to be honest. I think Cripps is that in and under beast. I don't think that'll affect his role.
Lockie Neal's another one.
Yeah, gun. If you didn't pick him, he'd be absolutely spewing. Don't know if we can endorse a sideways trade. Can we from someone?
You'd have to upgrade to him, but I don't know where you're getting that cash from.
Yeah, Brayshaw, the other one, dominated 40 disposals. I didn't start him as well. But
yeah, he's another one. Unless you could almost do a Whitfield down to a Shaq attack, free up some cash.
don't do that. Don't bring in Josh Shaqy. But if you've got cash and you can go to Brayshaw, he's a good option. The other two that I'll quickly whip through, Jai Caldwell, looks like a beneficiary of Merritt going down with an injury. He's out for 8 weeks. Langford's already out. He'll be a really good option. Possibly a straight swap for Berry for some people. Back-to-back 90s. Didn't kick a goal on the weekend, but scored really well. And then Matty Rau. So he went bananas in round one. Had a lockdown role against Sauce Oliver.
Yeah, moved on to Sauce Oliver.
Which might have been
a bit silly because Sauce Oliver is just a gun and just still dominated.
They would have been giving each other sunscreen, I think. might have been just,
Bit of moon burn out
there. Bit of moon burn for him. Five frees against didn't help his score. I'm not too worried. He did get a touch in the last quarter, which is very un-Rau-like, but we'll move on. I think he's still a good option. Okay, Todd, have a very special guest on the Percenters this week.
Yes, indeed. I'm not sure about you, Harrow, but I'm a little bit intimidated.
Yeah.
She's well-known around the Supercoach community.
Extraordinarily well-known, and for good reason. Took out Supercoach last year. Took home the 50K. Supercoach Mama is the team name. Emily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. I guess a few people might be dreaming about being in that position in the last round of the season, thinking that they might be a sniff to win it. Talk us through those nerves in that last round. How are you feeling? Were you watching about 9 games of footy that round?
Yeah. I don't usually not watch all night. I actually didn't watch. So the Essendon Collingwood in Sunday was the nail in the coffin, I suppose, and I refused to watch it and I went to the supermarket. But just rewind a little bit. I had one trade left, which I was the only person in the top 20 to have a trade left, but it was like a blessing and a curse. And because of Tom Stewart, because I still had Tom Stewart on my bench, I had Zeeble. So I had chose, because Zeeble didn't play, so I had the choice between which one, and I was just trying everything. And I should have just got Lloyd in on Saturday night, but I was really just worried about laid out on Sunday. I could have had a May laid out on Sunday the week before or whatever that was. So I was just dreading the laid out. So I actually I didn't even hardly sleep Saturday night. I was so stressed. I was 170 points ahead, but for me, I'm like, I gained that in a week. And I'm just like, that's can be easy enough.
Yeah.
If you have a laid out or
a few stinkers. Yeah, I feel like that would have been a very nervous trip to Coles, that one. I'd done.
Yeah. And I literally, so I had Supercoach Data. I don't know if you know him on Twitter. He's the one that keeps track on everyone's teams. And he messaged me and he said, can I announce it yet? And I went, nah, it's too early. And he goes, wait, it is really almost impossible. I'm like, no. And then he messages me about a quarter later. This is after Parrish kind of stinks because the person who could have bet me, he had a captain on Parrish.
Yeah.
He kind of stunk it up. And Stringer, because I bought in Stringer, he was doing okay. And then he's like, it's actually pretty much impossible for you to lose. I'm calling it. So I was literally in the on the cleaning aisle near the washing, and I literally just put my head on washing powder when I found out that I actually won it. But that's how I found out.
Well, the 50K feeling, obviously 50K richer, you can probably afford Supercoach Gold for this year, so that's positive. What has the money been spent on, if that's not too personal? Has it been a bit of splurging or responsible spending?
So half a little bit splurge of furniture, and we're going on to Queensland next month.
Yep.
To Gold Coast, taking the kids to the theme parks, just bits and pieces, and we've saved half of it and actually put our kids in private school. Anyway.
Oh, beautiful. The ultimate Supercoach mum.
That is absolutely Supercoach mum's putting the funds to good use there. That's amazing. Well, I guess if we turn our attention to this year, I've had a quick look at your team. You've got a few similar headaches to Todd in particular, but yeah, just talk us through how you started off. I know you've got Whitfield in your team and also McGovern, so a few little head scratches there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is the team that I published is better than the team I've got, which is kind of like my old age advice from last year was don't change your team.
Yeah.
Did I actually think about it? But I feel like this year was really difficult because I feel like it was really hard to cement because of the rookie situation. To cement your team was really difficult because we like to base your structure around rookies. And it was just still too unknown. And then the rolling lockouts and knowing exactly who's going to be on, I just felt like, because last year with my team, I didn't touch it in the last week, and I just felt I physically couldn't do that. Should have I kept Hewitt? Probably, except it all kind of, but then if I kept Hewitt, because I didn't have Rao in my published team, so I brought in Rao. So would I rather have Rao over Hewitt? Oh, that's, you know. So I don't mind my team. So I do have a couple of headaches. So I chose to fade Hall, even though I love Hall and he helped me win last year. But I have Stewart, who's just been doing okay. But, I would have loved to have Hall in my team. But, yes, I've got Whitfield as a headache. And I've got Berry, who, you know, is not very nice at the moment.
No.
And I also... And I knew I was asking for trouble, but I almost kind of just did my bet three ways with having McGovern, Brody, and Sherry filling up my end of my forward. So mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be very lucky if all three, you know, it's like throwing crap on the wall and seeing what sticks. I was going to be surprised if all three did really well. I underestimated the forward rookies amazingly. So, and I have Cherry at F6. And I really wish that my other structure that I had Rochelle mm-hmm. at F6. And I kind of wish that I still did that. But the rookies kind of didn't do as well this week. And they might, they might settle down a bit. But yeah, so my structure is not perfect. Did you know how many corrective trades I made last year? I looked it up.
Oh, that's good insight. Good, very good Supercoach insight here. We'd love to know.
Zero.
Oh, jeez.
I made zero corrective trades, and I was really, really close. You're getting a scoop. This is on my article. I've just finished writing. It's going to be published tomorrow. But almost traded Taranto Tarantula to Tex Walker because Tex Walker, he did 146 round one, not two last year.
Yeah.
And everyone was jumping on the cash cow. And for me, I really undenied, but I was really happy with my structure.
Yeah.
And I had this extra money. I can't remember how much it was, but I think Taranto was like $450. And how expensive was Walker? Do we remember?
Who is that? $360?
Yeah.
$360, yeah. So I would have had almost $190. That sounding familiar. $190K in the bank. And then I'm like, what do I do with that money? And I didn't really have anything to do with it. Which will lead on to this season, I promise. And then I'm like, I ended up not doing it. And those people who did the Walker situation, I think it was the kind of thing that worked both ways, I feel. However, that trade Walker, most people traded him out. So when you're trading in a player, you need to think about, are you actually committing yourself to more trades? How many trades are you committing yourself? If you're trading in a stepping stone, you're going to have to trade them out. And then you get more money, which you've got to trade someone which you would have traded out. And it kind of like snowball effect. So I feel my advice this season, which I will have to trade, is you're trading someone like McGovern, Whitfield, and Gorn. I don't know. We can talk about that later. But yeah. You need to be doing something with that money. It can't be in the bank.
Yeah.
It can't be sitting there. You need to be doing something. And it needs to be as premium as you can get. It needs to be, at least one of them needs to be a safer, hopefully a keeper. I would love your guys' opinion on it. But I really, really, so Hewitt, I feel, is he going to be a keeper? Look, someone said today about Stephen May. I had Stephen May at D6 and he averaged, 92?
Yeah. I had him as well at one stage.
Yeah. So, look, Hewitt, he could be a D6. Patrick, if he's in our teams by the end of the year, I'm going to donate $100 to charity because I really don't know. I don't feel like you can really avoid him, for me personally, I have Rao at M4.
Yeah.
And I have McRae and Miller. Yeah, Miller. And then Neil. Then I have Rao. So I feel like, and then Barry. So I feel like I've got room for that, for the Patrick. I have a Patrick slot in my team.
Yeah, it's a Patrick-sized slot. Yeah.
Yeah, and he could be 600K, according to Bryce Mitchell, follow Bryce Mitchell, by round six, apparently. He could be like 580, 590.
Mm.
So if he does get injured, which I don't want to wish that upon him, but he does, his body, can let him down.
Yeah.
At least you can trade him someone too. Like when Dunkley got injured last year, I traded him to Bont.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was huge. Yes, he got injured. That sucked. But that round I traded Dunkley and I traded Golden and I got Bont and Zorko in that same week.
Yeah.
In round seven. And Bont averaged 140 for 8 weeks and Zorko averaged 122 for 8 weeks. But you can't be afraid of having to trade someone because you can use your trade to advantage, but also you don't want to be trading him out, when he hasn't hardly made any money. But his break even is really good, isn't it? Sorry, I've just been chatting.
That's fine. You've provided some wise insights there.
Big time.
But just shifting our focus back to Whitfield, just need a little bit of advice. I'm not sure about you, but I tell you what, the ride home on the train from that game wasn't fun at all. I'm just wondering how you do blow off some steam, some Supercoach steam when your player plays a stinker. I know myself, I was playing my mum in some banana grams. I'm not sure if you played that, but that definitely helped. I smashed her in a few games of that, and that took a bit of focus off the Whitfield performance. But do you have any insight into that?
Yes, well, you'll laugh at this. I published an article a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about my team like my family. My keepers are my family.
Yeah.
And I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. and I just sulk. I don't criticize them, but I was like, I'm just deeply disappointed. And like literally it gets to the point that my husband knows me so well that we'll do something and he'll just go, "So, team not going so well," and I'm like, "Shut up." Because I'm just cra- cranky all of a sudden, and he's just like 3 o'clock on a Sunday, bloody Sunday, and he's just like, yeah. Just, oh, so how's your don't even ask
yeah,
me
that question.
Yeah, just following up on that, at the moment I've got Whitfield myself, and I'm thinking about, it's tempting to put him down to Bowie, who had a massive game. What are your plans with Whitfield at the moment, and do you advise against that?
Depends of where you have Whitfield. I honestly feel, a bit dicey. D3, for example, Bowie, too shallow.
Mm, yeah.
And a lot of people, some went into the Chapman train, and he's kind of almost a must trade. And I know people are looking, trying to get up to Bowie, and like that's all they can afford. And I don't mind that. However, he's played 9 games.
Yeah.
And he's very inconsistent, and he's going to make you money, but he's the exact example of someone who's going to cost you trades.
Yeah.
And you might make money out of it, and you might make use of it, but you're going to spend 2 trades in the process possibly, and then it's just, I'm not convinced about, I wouldn't, unless that money significantly makes your team, if you add another premium somewhere else in your team, significantly makes your team look amazing. It's personal preference if that's something you want to do. I don't love the Bowie pick. I prefer Hewitt, who I feel like we've got a good chance, possibly being a keeper, like, or it's well after the buys. Bowie, he could hurt you. He could start. He could start pushing out mid-60s or 50s or worse. Yeah. He could, like, you know, Tom Hawkins kind of scoring, which, you know, I know about, so I somehow have him in my team every year. Not this year, she said. but I'm just concerned, like, he's new. I mean, he's still a young player, and I think he definitely can play well, which we saw last week. But I don't know about the whole he's just replacing Salem. I don't know if it's that simple. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I know he was a different price point. But do you remember Jack Viney?
Yes.
A couple of years ago in 2020 when we had those extra trades?
Yes.
And we went on the Jack Viney trade. I don't think that was a win.
No.
I know it's a different price point. I'm getting Viney vibes.
Viney vibes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are so many mid prices this year, and it's a walking minefield. There are just so many opportunities to just get trapped this year. And I'm very interested. I have the same thoughts about Bowie. I think that Todd might be on him this week. I'm not going to be bringing him in, but I'm very interested in what your thoughts are on Gawn and people that are considering trading out Gawn. Very, very tempted. I know you've said that you need to be putting the cash to work elsewhere. So Ike was potentially thinking about trading Gawn down to Jerry, who I know you've got, swinging Hayes into the ruck at R2, which is incredibly scary. And I might need your counselling after this. But that would allow me to go from Berry up to Cripps and from Ward to Heaney as well. So they're 2 massive ins, but obviously incredibly scary having Jack Hayes at R2.
Are you concerned about Ryder coming back?
Yeah, that was my next point. So I am concerned about that. The other option was to bring in Proust, but I just, Leon Cameron, we just don't get along very well. So, yeah, I don't really rate Proust as an addition, but I just am trying to find a way to get Cripps into my side.
Yeah, no, I completely, completely understand that. I don't love it. No, it's too much of a risk. And this is where I'm at with the Gawn. And I looked for options other than Gawn. I looked for value, and I looked and looked for value. And every week I would have a different ruckman in that spot.
Yeah.
I had Grundy and someone else. And I just didn't feel comfortable. English has looked good, but with no Martin.
Yeah, exactly right.
Marshall's looked good with no Ryder.
Yeah.
It's just, we just haven't had the best 2 weeks of proof of seeing it, and I don't like going all the way down to Iwitz. I don't like that, because he's just another stepping stone, and yeah, I just feel like like last year's saga, where, you know, we traded out Grundy, and which really worked for me, trading out Grundy during buys, trading in Nick Nack. Then I traded him out, and then I brought Grundy back in. It was just, you know, and I didn't need to do that. I should have just kept Nick Nack. But it didn't cost me. But just this, I just feel like it's be such a headache. Look, I can completely understand if it gets you that, but the thing is, I'm not comfortable with the other. And Darcy, you know.
Oh, he's he's become.
I mean, he's injured anyway. He's not even. I mean, thank goodness. Oh my goodness, Darcy owners, did they get a?
Dugout Darcy.
They traded in Proust, though, most some of them.
Sean Darcy's been a bit of a regular fixture on this podcast. We just like to get stuck into him. He came off 9 times injured to the bench last year, and we did pick in preseason that he'd go down with an ankle injury, and happened first round and he was back. So he's just, too injury-prone, that bloke. But, yeah, completely understand what you're saying about not wanting to sort of trade people out that you might have to trade back in, and just carefully planning for the amount of trades you might burn through. Are you happy to declare who you might trade this week? What are your trade plans for this week?
Yes. I have tried other trades because it's going to sound so pedestrian or someone. Anyway, funny thing is one of my favorite tweets from last year was after I won was that, you're following the sheep crowd was your starting team last year. And then someone went, but she won. Anyway, that's why. I've played around with it. But at the moment, Whitfield to Hewitt, Berry to Patrick Cripps, and McGovern to Martin.
Yeah.
Are my trades. And Martin obviously is a week early, so if you don't have to trade Martin, you don't have to this week, but I feel like he's okay if he gets named, of course.
Yeah.
So that brings a rookie to my field, but if I have that loophole of Dixon, who possibly could get a game this week, but if I have something that I'll just swing, I'll have the 3 to 4 rookies to swing into that one spot, which I feel pretty comfortable with, and that means that, that Patrick will be in round, will be my M4, and Rao will be pushed to M5, which looks lovely.
Yeah.
And then it's just Whitfield to Hewitt, which could work out or could not. I really would have loved to see Hewitt with Chera.
Yeah. I feel like that was my, and I've sort of been a bit off Hewitt in the past, and I think that Blues have won both their games, which is usually associated with more points. I feel like if you're picking Hewitt, you're picking him as a keeper, obviously not a stepping stone, but even if he averages 100, I was looking this up earlier, if Hewitt from here on out, even with those two big scores in round 1 and 2, does average 100 up to his bye, he'll peak at about 500K, which isn't the worst result if he's averaging 100. He can probably fit in at D6, but I still think that there's a possibility that Hall, Short, Chris, Ryan, Stewart, Zeeble, even Dawson, Rich, all average more than him. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous about that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can say that you don't have to have every top. You need to have the right top. You need to have we'll need to get Hall in soon. But to win, you need the top, the ones that cost you, that make you more points. So, like the Bonds, for example, when he was doing really well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt you to have someone. So I had, for example, I had May at D6. I had Zeret in my M7 or 8. Actually, I had Revolving Door in my M8. I had Taranto. Then I had Kelly. Gee, that worked well. Trading Kelly everywhere. Don't trade in Kelly.
Oh, well, I've got Kelly in my team, but that's okay.
Advice against it. So.
Averaging 115 just quietly for me, which is good, but I am waiting for an injury. So thanks for putting the Moz on in there and cursing him, but that's okay.
No problem. Anyway, moving on. And then I had Lyons, but I didn't have I didn't have Miller for all of last year. And I in my forwards, I think my forwards were a little bit better, but I get that he might not be. you know, it might be. But if he's in the top 10, you kind of smudge it and get away with it. Jaden Short was a good example. He averaged 98.6 or something.
And
I looked him up. He was ninth, the defender.
Yeah.
I had May and Short in my team. And do you know what the key is, I think, is if they play every week.
Yeah.
When you have players who are not top eight, who are just in that borderline and they miss game, it's a killer. And you've got to put rookies on, or you've got to trade, or you've got to do something. That's what kills you. If you're getting someone who is a little bit below the premium par, but they play every week, you can get away with it. And that's what I found out with having Taranto. I had Taranto all of last year until round 15, and I don't know. I think I've lost my luck last year, but I literally traded in round 15. From round 16 to 20, he averaged 63 after averaging about 9,500 from when I had him. And he was doing he's played for me every week, and he did his job. So no, it is a good question, and that's the reason why I didn't have start Hewitt. Because I valued Rao in my team, and then I thought Berry was going to be an okay cash cow, and then I thought Whitfield was going to be, well, I kind of got swayed because everyone had Whitfield. I didn't have Whitfield in my first team, and then I kind of went, oh yeah, no, you know, you've got to have Whitfield, and I regret that. I should have been stronger with that.
Yeah, just another one. We've seen that you've made the wise decision of having and getting on the Took train this year. So just wondering, it is an enjoyable ride at the moment. I think he's pumped out 2 140s back-to-back. We do love him on the podcast. And just a quick question, we're just wondering if you managed to find yourself a window seat, or if you're more of a extra leg room in the aisle sort of operator on the Took train.
On the Took train?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I'm completely honest, I'm late on the Took train.
Oh no,
you are late.
So like I've just got my ticket this year, and I'm a bit squished. I'm standing and I'm looking for a seat. I'm desperately looking on a seat, but I'm standing because I'm pretty new, but I'm one of those people that's just happy they caught the train.
Yep. You know
those people? And they do not care if they are standing for the whole time. I made it. I'm on the train.
I do know last year he sort of just sneaked past everyone, and before you knew it, he was just out of range. Had to sell your old team to afford him. So it's good to get on early and enjoy the ride. I'm sure he'll treat you well throughout the season. I think me and Will have him at the moment, and yeah, we're glad we do. He looks unreal.
Very, very glad.
Yeah. What sold it for me was I didn't realise he had a slight role change last year. So how he was a little bit of that tagging midfield early on, steel style early on, and then he did more inside mid, like from round six, and he scored a ton from round six all the way up to round 23, including obviously he missed 1 week and had the bye. You've already talked about this, but that I'm just like, what?
Yeah, crazy.
Like from round six, 100 ton.
Yeah, 131 I think he averaged after round six.
Yeah, that's nutskies, absolutely nutskies. And he's kind of like on another planet, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks even better this year, on the weekend against the D's. I think his next teammate scored, did they even turn up? It was like 100?
Yeah, not
and
sure.
And he managed to pull out a 140, so
He's looking at Took's biceps the whole game, so didn't really see anyone else, but that's all right. No, we're very, very happy that we've started with Took. We might put you on the spot, Em. We do like to do a bold prediction here and there. The fortune teller that we have had on previously was in the sin bin last week, and he's still in the bin. We did have, he did say that Gawn wouldn't be a top two ruck. It hasn't been the worst prediction so
far. He'd also say Jake Loy wouldn't be a top six defender.
Yeah, so there have been a few, he might have cursed a few players, but I might put you on the spot. Have you got a bold prediction that you think might come true this year in Supercoach?
I don't know how bold it is, so you have to rate my boldness.
Okay.
So Tristan Cherry is going to stay in our teams for the rest of the year.
Oh,
that is a big call.
Massive call.
Oh, wow. So you reckon he'll end up at F6?
Yeah, he will. Yep. He's got Goldie's role with his hands. And he's just slowly taking it off him. And Goldie's just like that child that's like, oh, okay, I'll just go to the forward line then.
Yeah.
Okay then.
The old man's yeah. been pushed out of yeah. the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I, unless he gets injured, That's the asterisk.
A good call, but you might have to review that one at the end of the season and just save that one in the memory bank. No, I actually don't mind it.
Well, if he continues with that ruck roll, with that and you know, what is he? Well, here's a question for you. What does he? What would he need average to be a F6? You reckon? It depends on who gets DPP, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it does hugely depend. If someone like a Dangerfield got forward status at some point, that might change
a Bond, if Bond gets a forward status, or even you never know, even a Petrarca, if he plays extended time forward for a 5-week period, yeah, you just don't really want to miss out on those sort of plays. So, yeah, it will be interesting. I feel like this year you've got to sort of leave a little bit of wiggle room in your back line and forward line if players do gain that DPP, but yeah, it'll be quite interesting. I reckon, yeah, Jerry, if he averages in that 90 to 95 range, he could, yeah, well and truly be F6 by the season's end.
Big time.
Yeah, well, there we are. We might be in our R2s. Who knows?
Well, look, I just, please stop. Okay, I've got enough. I'm already going to struggle to sleep tonight, and you're just feeding into my anxiety. So thank you for that, but that's all right. I think that would be scary to have him at R2, but I just have no other way to get Cripps in. Like, my team's pretty sore. I've got Berry, and I think that a lot of people are going to be trading him out. He played that defensive tagging role. He still scored in the 70s, and yes, there's a bit of a concern about his shoulder, but I'm just honestly finding any possible way to get Patrick Cripps into my side, but outside of trading Gawn, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. But anyway, that's a problem for me, not for you. I think it's a really important round, this one, corrective trades. Have you got any? I'm just having a quick look through your team. Any rookies that you think, clearly there are some must-haves that we don't really need to speak about, but people like Dylan Stevens, who some people might not have, I don't know, how much would you lock?
Yeah, that's, I don't have him at the moment, but he's playing a really friendly role in that wing, so yeah.
How long is he going to go the ring roll?
The ring bearer on the sidelines.
Waiting for the bride and groom.
Yeah. Well, Sean Darcy's getting married to the dugout, or already has been, to the injury change bench. So you could maybe marry Sean Darcy to that. But look, a lock, that's a big call. You reckon he's a lock?
No, I think he's a must. I don't know. Depends on how long he has that role for, but 95 is like, how much money is he going to make? Mm. I feel like could he be the James Jordan? Yes. Jordan kind of had a bit of a slower start. Mm. Some idiots traded him around 6. Who would they be?
I
won still.
Subtle flex from Supercoach Mama there. Just fair enough.
That was one of my main regrets, was trading him early. But all I'm saying is, you know, he having a good role, and then starting, you know, and if he starts, oh, it killed me. It absolutely killed him just pumping out 90s.
That was me with Tom Highmore, traded him. And
that was me too on Highmore too. Traded him out too.
Burnt me big time. All right, well, look. Oh. I think you might have taught me out of trading Gawn. I think I might have to just stick with Berry down to Stevens, and then Baldwin up to Jerry, I think.
Do you want my escape plan, which is slightly a bit nutty? No, Emily's nutty escape plan.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Love that. Yeah.
So it's not – I was just with the Gawn thing. I know he's going to drop cash, but if he's just sucking it in 3 weeks, Jerry's going to be our forward ruck.
Yeah.
So, if we still don't know how the next ruck is, and we just need a couple of weeks until buys, Cherry's really, he's not doing this seesaw, like, Bowie kind of scoring. Like, he's doing, you know you're going to get at least an 80 or a 90 from him. You put him in R2, you trade Gawn to a forward, you got forward. I don't know, that seems a bit nutty. But,
I think that
anyway, let me work on it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think Isaac Heaney is the other person I want to be able to bring in. I'm big on him, but yeah, you just can't Can't get them all in, can you?
No, absolutely not.
Well, I think that we might wrap it up there.
Yeah, we might wrap it up
unless you've got any other questions.
No, that's
I think we've got
that does it.
Absolutely stacks of information there. I'm a little bit angry with you that you've put the curse on Josh Kelly, but that's okay. Hopefully, if he does a hamstring next week, I'll be calling you back up. And I'll be very unhappy.
You won't be unhappy, you'll be disappointed.
I'll be disappointed. That's what I'll be. The other thing, I think just it would be rude not to. Speaking of hamstrings, you did mention Aaron Hall. I think that if you bring him in, he is a very, very good chance to do a hamstring. So just, he's burnt me a number of times. Just buyer beware there. That's my little bit of advice, but who am I to advise the winner of Supercoach? And thank you so much for coming on.
Cam.
We really appreciate that. And all the best. All the best for the season.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks heaps.
Thanks
See
so
ya.
Much, Am.
Oh, wow, wait.
Jeez. Supercoach Mama goes bang from outside 50 and just provides the goods there.
Supercoach Mama's gone on the left, torpedo, inside out barrel from 85, like Taron Thomas on the weekend. Lots to unpack there. How's that affected your trade thinking?
Oh, well, she did touch on Bowie. She talked him down.
Wasn't keen on the little saucy
was
boy.
Was not keen on the little saucy boy. I am very keen on this little bloke. I'm not sure if she watched the game, but Salem's out for 5 to 7 weeks. I feel like round one, it didn't affect Bowie too much, but they've definitely changed his role leading into round two. He was a lot freer. Every time the ball was kicked in there, he was at the feet of May, Tomlinson, and all the key backs, even Tommy McDonald. And he was a crummy machine, 16 intercepts. Ben, when the ball was going out of the back line, he was getting involved in all the chains, did not miss a target. I wouldn't be surprised if this bloke could be deserted on an island and still hit up a teammate somehow. he's that good with the ball in hand.
So basically you're just completely ignoring everything that the winner of Supercoach last year said.
Yeah, basically. I don't know if that's wise.
Em, I'm sorry if you're listening, but I am going to heed your advice. Todd will
I don't know
suffer.
If I'm silly, but Bowie, I've looked through his stats. He did get 150, and worst case scenario, he goes two back-to-back 60s, and he still makes 90K in 2 weeks. There will be alarm bells if that happens, but I'm penciling him for around about an 85-90 average, which will he'll earn about close to that 200K mark, around 150 to 200K. If he averages around 85 to 90 by round seven. So Salem will probably come back around round eight. So, yeah, Bowie. And the main reason for that trade is it just frees up cash. I've only got 7K in the bank at the moment. So from going shitfield down to Bowie, free up cash. And that allows me to bring in Jerry in the forward line, who I think is a must have, as Supercoach Mama did touch on.
Yep.
Her bold prediction was
Top six,
or even
keeper,
even R2.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, keeper in. Yeah.
I'll touch on that in a second, but yeah. So you're freeing up cash, bringing in Jerry.
Yeah, and then that allows me also to upgrade Owens, Mr. Two Pointer.
Yes.
To Stevens, who he's playing that really nice role on the wing there. So that'll be my three trades. I'm going to use a trade boost. I'm a bit excited. I've been keen to use it since round one, and I finally get the chance to do it. So that leaves me with about 160K left in the bank. So the reasoning behind this is I'm looking to get that quick upgrade early. So Supercoach Mama did advise against having money in the bank, but I do really like my premiums at the moment, except for Whitfield. There's just not much other wiggle room I have in order to get in Jerry and Stevens, who are must-haves, and Bowie, I've feel like he could be a really good stepping stone. So,
Interesting. I think I agree, Jerry. He's got to come into my side. I've got two different trade strategies. I did flag one of them on the Twitter, which was a little bit of madness, but the community did get around it. Last time I checked, there was 52% saying take the risk and 48% saying you're a fool. So that was the idea of trading Gorn down to Jerry and then swinging Hayes into R2, which is a little bit crazy with Ryder potentially coming back in this week. I'm not sure whether they will play three tools. So I'll be watching for updates on that really, really closely throughout the rest of the week. That would then free up the cash to be able to go Ward up to Cripps and then to bring in Heaney as well for Baldwin. So that's Cripps and Heaney are two massive ins, but you clearly still a chance to be copping a donut with Hayes at R2, but does only have to be at R2 for 3 weeks because round six, Jerry will get DPP status and he can cover you for R2. So huge cock at on the bench.
Oh, yeah, I'm disappointed he didn't play last.
Yeah, it had COVID, so...
Hopefully he bounces back and gets that energy around the rooms again.
Yeah, very stiff to cop COVID.
Extremely stiff.
Very stiff. So hopefully he can get... If he gets a gain this week, that might affect my trade plans if he's cover on the bench. So that was trade one. The other option was to just go very safe, and Supercoach Mama did advise sort of along this line was to bring in Jerry, bring him in, and then to also bring in Stephen. So I'd be going down from Berry to Stevens and then up from Baldwin to Jerry. So
yeah, but then you miss out on Heaney and Cripps. But then again, community, you're not going to get that 160 from Cripps. That's gone.
Yeah,
that's
dusted. Leave that in the past.
That 144, those back-to-back 140s from Heaney, they're also gone. So you got to look at it.
Got to get over the recency.
You missed out on that.
Recency bias.
You gotta just got to see what they're going to do for the rest of the season. So,
yeah.
But
Supercoach, I mean, oh, yeah.
Look. Know myself, I don't have Cripps or Heaney at the moment, so that might bite me.
Cripps is looking like, and Supercoach Mama mentioned before that he looks like he might get up to about 580K pretty soon. So, spewing the... Might not be able to get him in, but that's my trade plan.
Yeah, it's all about what our main priorities are. So for me, Jerry, he's got to be your number one priority this week. Do you feel like?
I feel like that's a good point. And cash gen, this is probably my key point. Cash generation right now is critical. So you want to be getting in the rookies and the players that are going to generate your cash because you're going to miss the boat otherwise. Someone like a Cripps, you don't know. He might do a hammy. He might. Score poorly and then he might fall in cash later in the year.
Yeah, at the moment, Cripps' break even is about minus 28. So if he, if he pumps out 100, he'll go up 60 to 70K.
Yeah. So, but you might be able to grab him later in the year. You never know. Same as Haney, you just don't know. He might get injured and have to go off. And
we haven't had any of our premiums go down early and score like
positive.
A 10.
No, very which positive. Will be,
which that does happen every year. It's usually Zeret, but he's injured anyway.
Mm.
And you can pick him up for a juicy 500K and then
you'll get Aaron Hall cheap later in the year after he tears a hammy off the bone.
Oh, that's a bit mean. Hall.
Sorry, mate, but yeah. Anyway,
I hope you're not listening, Aaron Hall. We do apologise. We're not about that at the 1%ers.
So yeah, they're my trade plans.
But yeah, mainly for me, but Whitfield at Bowie, it allows me to get Jerry. Otherwise, I can't get him in. So I can upgrade either Baldwin. Even go award to Jerry, and then I can also get Stevens in and get rid of Owens, who was just putrid round one. I just don't see him doing much. He did play all right on the weekend in the twos. I think he had 20 touches and a goal or two.
Yep.
But other than that.
That pretty much wraps us up. I feel like our main priority for both of us is Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, in saying that again, if you don't have any of these other rookies, they might be a priority, like a McCartan.
Yeah. And yeah, look, just a note on Jerry as well. He was up against some spud rucks in the first two rounds as well. I think he played, the Hawks and Brisbane? I don't know. Hawks, Max Lynch went down, he got concussed. McAvoy was out with COVID and he was rucking, I think, against Reaver. We love you, Reaver, but an inexperienced ruckman as well. And then Jerry also was rucking against West Coast. I think it was against Williams as well. So it hasn't really come up against a gun ruck, but... Fingers crossed he can keep up his form. He just looks irresistible at the price. Okay, final segment.
The final call.
Let's do it. Who you got?
This is a big one. I think I'm 261 points behind Harrow Sparrows. Oh. But this is the round that TFC finally get their boots strapped on and start getting in and under the pack and win that hard ball. And there's none better than C. Oliver. 3 votes this week. He's getting 200 points against Essendon. You heard it first. He's going to go on an absolute tear and dominate. 40 touches, 2 goals plus. He's going to have the C on him. And Harrow does not have him. So
yeah, don't have him, mate. But unfortunately, you won't be able to catch up to me. I'm playing in the AFL and you're playing local WRFL league.
We'll have to find out next week. But Clary, 200, you heard it first here.
I'm going to go with a Blues player. We know the Blues have exploded at the start of the year, but my call is going to be George Hewitt. I think he's going to go below 100 and possibly below 90. So that's my big call. I think that he started really well, but I don't think he can sustain it. And I think that he'll be in for a bit of a dip.
So Supercoach Mum might not want to come into the podcast again.
We might have gone against her there, but
put the mock on one of her players, her trading.
Yeah, look, it's a win-win. If he goes well, it's good for her, and if he goes poorly, it's good for our call. So we'll leave it there. All the best with your corrective trades this week. It's a big week for Supercoach. Back your gut. Try to avoid last-minute trades, but I probably will end up with Hayes at R2. So I can't say that. All the best. We'll chat to you next week.
Just trust your gut, and thanks for that.